On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, the offseason is officially over. I'm calling it. So what was the best move the Oilers made, the best move the Oilers didn't make, and the wait and see move? We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned at the top of today's episode, we're going to be talking about all the moves that were made, or some of the moves that were made by the Edmonton Oilers. And one move that I'm happy didn't happen from the Edmonton Oilers side. We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered with all this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Where we are going to start today is the best move that the Edmonton Oilers made this offseason, as I'm calling it. It's the Friday, September, what, 8th or something like that? September 9th, maybe. And it's September 9th, I can confirm, I think. But it is September 9th, and just about a week from now is rookie camp, and then a week after that is training camp. So the offseason's pretty much done. So we are going to go over, once again, the best move that the Oilers made, the move that didn't happen, and one move that we'll wait and see on. But the best move is one that I think a lot of people may not necessarily agree with, but I think a lot of people go, fair enough. This move, I think, just solidified the Edmonton Oilers roster just a little bit more. And with some of the losses that they have accumulated over this this offseason as well, I think this was a very important move to make for the Edmonton Oilers. And that was the re-signing of Brett Kulak. Yes, I think Brett Kulak coming back to the Edmonton Oilers on free agency day, free agent frenzy, was the most important move that the Edmonton Oilers made. Look, the Edmonton Oilers lost Duncan Keith at the draft, or a day after the draft, basically, when he announced his retirement, and that left a pretty big hole in the Edmonton Oilers' defensive core and in their roster in general, especially with Kulak hitting the open market and vocally saying that he was going to hit the open market, see what he could get on the open market, really shot a lot of fear into Edmonton Oilers fans, especially because the Edmonton Oilers are sitting there going, I'm not really sure if Evander Kane's going to come back. So then you sit there and go, well, the Edmonton Oilers need to find a number one center or a number one winger or a winger for your top six, and as well a top four defenseman. That's tough to do. But the Edmonton Oilers went out there, got their guy again, because they did get him at the trade deadline, last year, and got their guy again. Brett Kulak signed a four-year deal, $2.75 million per year, with an AAV of about $11 million. Last year, he had 74 games played, only 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points. But that's not the player Brett Kulak is. Can he produce offensively? Absolutely. At times. He can move the puck just like anybody else on the team. Anybody else on the team. He can move it just as well. And is potentially the best skater on the back end for the Edmonton Oilers. He can move. And that's what the Edmonton Oilers need. But that's not the main thing that makes Brett Kulak so special and so valuable for the Edmonton Oilers. What he does defensively in his own end is unlike anything any other Edmonton Oiler does right now. And the numbers reflect that. At 5-on-5, Brett Kulak had 3.5 goals against per 60 minutes. Or 2.62, excuse me. 2.62. He had a 3.5 or 3.5 goals for per 60 minutes. So that means When the Edmonton Oilers, or when Brett Kulak is on the ice for the Edmonton Oilers, per 60 minutes, the Edmonton Oilers are scoring 3.5 goals at 5-on-5 when most of the game is being played. That was second best on the team. On the team. Not just defensemen, not just lads who came in halfway through. On the team. That's goals for. Goals against, however, a 2.62 goals against per 60 minutes, which was good for 12th on the team. So he's right there with the rest of the team. But at the same time, at shorthanded on the penalty kill, Brett Kulak has a 4.06 goals against per 60, which you're sitting there and going, oh, that's a lot. But you have to think about the fact that at the penalty kill, the other team's going to score more goals than you are. So essentially, it kind of washes each other out. You're going to have a higher goals against per 60 minutes than you are in other shorthanded, than in any other situation. But Brett Kulak with that 4.06 was the best on the team. He was the best penalty killer. He was the best at keeping the puck out of the Edmonton Oilers net shorthanded. And shorthanded and the penalty kill was a little bit of an issue for the Edmonton Oilers down the stretch. They needed somebody to just kind of rein everybody in. And that guy was Brett Kulak. And at times, shorthanded and on the penalty kill, the Edmonton Oilers won games because of that shorthanded unit. And I mean, you take a look at game three, even when the Edmonton Oilers scored that first goal against the Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference Final. And then next shift, Evander Kane sends Nazem Kadri into the boards from behind. 5-minute penalty there. The Edmonton Oilers killed off all 5 minutes. And then on top of it, they also had a penalty within those 5 minutes. And they were also able to kill that one too. At times, the penalty kill kept the Edmonton Oilers in games and helped them either win games or kept them close to try and win those games. And a lot of that had to do with Brett Kulak. And my issue, as I've been very vocal about for the Edmonton Oilers, wasn't necessarily the defense in itself, but the defense that would be put on the penalty kill. You lose Duncan Keith. You lose Chris Russell. And so you sit there and go, who are you going to put out there? You're not going to put Bouchard on there. You're not going to put Broberg out on the power play or on the penalty kill. Not yet, at least. Are you comfortable with Barry out there? Maybe. But you know that Brett Kulak is going to do something when he's out there on the penalty kill. And that is the most important thing for a team that already has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The scoring aspect is not an issue, especially from the back end with Tyson Barry and Evan Bouchard. The Edmonton Oilers needed to prevent goals last year. That was their biggest thing. And Brett Kulak came in and helped. Now, you also solidify the defensive pairings as well, especially with the signing of Ryan Murray, with Nurse CeCe, Kulak, Bouchard, Broberg, Barry, and Murray as the seventh defenseman. Kulak, along with Bouchard, allows Bouchard to go out there and play his game. He may get caught sometimes up in a rush, but you can feel confident with Brett Kulak as the other defenseman next to him. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's defensively sound. He's a very good skater. A lot of things are adding up for the Edmonton Oilers, especially because of Brett Kulak. I'm excited to see what Kulak does next year, and especially with maybe not necessarily a more of a extended role is not necessarily the best word to use, because he was used in very important spots. But just more of a leadership role. Now he's more, people will look up to him a little bit more. I'm excited to see what happens next year with Brett Kulak again. I think that just solidifies so many things, allows Evan Bouchard to become more of a player he wants to be, and just a lot of really good things. But something that will also go hand in hand with the defending is the goaltending. So, what is my concern with the goaltending? We will get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Yes, a couple weeks ago I said that last week was the first week for football. It was the first week for college football. This week is the first week for the NFL, baby. What a Thursday nighter we had last night as well. Bills Mafia, what is going on? I am all the way here for the demise of Matt Stafford because I am a Bears fan, so anything to do with the Detroit Lions is against my quota, so down he goes. But either way, BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. It is also the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, NBA, NHL, MMA, boxing, golf, esports. They got it all. I mean, if you're a big Mexican League baseball fan, then they got it for you there as well. Even the Korean League, they've got a lot of lines for that as well. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Where I am going to continue is the crease, is my wait and see move for the Edmonton Oilers this year is the signing of Jack Campbell. Heading into free agency, I was very vocal on, you know what? Jack Campbell is not the guy to have in your net if you want to win a Stanley Cup. I'll be 100% honest with you. This guy over my right shoulder who won a Calder Cup with the Texas Stars, Jack Campbell, over the last few months has really turned me into a Jack. I had this jersey before. I liked Jack Campbell, but I have to tell you what. I am excited for what Jack Campbell can do. But can he do it? Last year, he had a 31-9-6 record with a 2.64 goals against per game and a 9.14 save percentage. Weirdly enough, kind of lower numbers in his entire career because his career is a 916 save percentage, which is higher than the 914 by a couple points, but still higher. A lower goals against average, I should say, at a 2.53, where last year he had a 2.64. You know what? I'm sitting here throughout the offseason, and you go, you know what? He talked to Zach Hyman, is very close to Zach Hyman, has played with Tyson Barrie, has played with Darnell Nurse. There are a ton of guys on that Edmonton Oilers team that have played with Jack Campbell at some point. That creates a familiarity. That creates a connection. I mean, we talk about the connection that Fogle, Bouchard, Yamamoto have, and McLeod, and how important that is. You got to think about how important it is for a goaltender to feel comfortable. It is important. Yes, I understand the inconsistencies, and that will be the main thing, but it's better than Mike Smith. It is, because Mike Smith did not respect angles as a goaltender. He thought he was a sixth player out there, which, fair enough, you kind of are. But you got to stop the pucks. That has to be your first priority. And sometimes you sat there and went, I don't know if stopping the puck is necessarily Mike Smith's first priority here. I think it might be getting assists and even a goal. Jack Campbell just sits there and does his job. I'm excited to see how the combination of him and Stuart Skinner does. I think Stuart Skinner will be a fantastic guy for Jack Campbell to be with. And I think Jack Campbell will also be a fantastic guy for Stuart Skinner to learn from. Jack Campbell is not your Andre Vasilevsky who just came right into the league right away. You're Jonathan Quick and has really... I shouldn't put Jonathan Quick in there because he's one of the best in the world, but... You sit there and you go, okay, Jack Campbell went to Texas, played a couple years in Texas, didn't quite crack it in Dallas. then went to Los Angeles, worked his way into the Los Angeles roster, then almost became kind of a platoon goaltender with Jonathan Quick, which Jonathan Quick at the time also did have some injury issues too, which opened the door for Jack Campbell to come in here and become an NHL goaltender. Went to Toronto, did well in Toronto. I mean, took Freddie Anderson out of a job, or got Freddie Anderson out to Carolina. So you sit there and you go, you know what? Everywhere Jack Campbell has gone, he's had success. And not only has he had success, but he's looked pretty decent doing it. What I'm also most excited for Jack Campbell is his personality off the ice. I want to see what Jack Campbell does with the media, because obviously if you live in Edmonton or if you watch some of the Edmonton Oilers post-game press conferences, you know that 104th Street basically runs right in front of the press room, and you can hear the horns honking, you can hear the police sirens going, you can hear the fans outside going soup. That's what I'm excited for. I can't wait for the playoffs when Jack Campbell goes out there and wins the Edmonton Oilers a game, and just the insanity that would be going on right next to him as he's answering questions. And his personality, let that personality show. Jack Campbell is one of the best personalities in the NHL. And for the Edmonton Oilers to have a goaltender, not just a player, but a goaltender who can kind of face the maybe not necessarily the criticism, but just have somebody as a face of the crease. The last couple of years, the Edmonton Oilers have had, oh, is it Mike Smith? Is it Koskinen? Is it, you know, this guy or that guy? The Edmonton Oilers haven't had consistency in their crease since Dwayne Roloson. Even then, you got guys like Devin Dubnyk, Jeff Delorier, Ben Scrivens, Victor Foss. The amount of goaltenders, Anders Nielsen, Cam Talbot. Yeah, I guess Cam Talbot was really that guy as well, but that didn't last long as well. 5 years, $5 million. The Edmonton Oilers have made an investment in Jack Campbell. And we'll wait and see to see if it works out. I can see it working out. I hope it works out, because Jack Campbell's a fantastic guy. If you haven't followed as well, Huey, his dog, you should, because it really shows just how personable Jack Campbell is. Now, that doesn't necessarily translate to how you do on the ice, but with the amount of guys he has on the team, that he knows on the team, if the city of Edmonton can really welcome Soup to Edmonton, along with Stu, because that is the main thing as well, or another thing as well, is that he will be competing with Stuart Skinner, but he's more also mentoring Stuart Skinner as well for the coming years for Skinner. I'm excited to see what he can do, but we're not necessarily sure he can do it. Because again, as I've mentioned, in the NHL, he hasn't really done it. He's lost in the first round basically every year that he's been in the playoffs, and that is with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Can he do it once it becomes the time that he needs to? Yes, he can do it in the regular season. We have seen that. Now it's time to do it in the playoffs, when the games matter the most. That's where I sit and go, is he the guy? Because you sit at you look at the other goaltenders on the market and you go, okay, well, this guy won the cup. This guy has won a cup. This guy has been close before. And you go, maybe there's better options. Jack Campbell seemed to be the guy kind of from Jump Street. So we'll see if Jack Campbell can turn it into basically becoming the guy in Edmonton for the next 5 years. I'm excited to see. We shall see if he can. But there were other names on the market, and that's where we are going to go for our move that I'm glad never happened. We will talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Now, as I reach over for the last bit of my notes, I don't really have notes on this one here, but the move that never was for the Edmonton Oilers, and the move that I'm happy the Edmonton Oilers didn't make, was one in the crease. I was very vocal on this guy, and I thought that this was the guy for the Edmonton Oilers for a long time, and that if the Edmonton Oilers did sign this guy, you might as well hand the cup over to Edmonton right now. And I sit here ever since, and the stories that I've heard ever since, some of the stuff that this goaltender is dealing with makes me go, maybe the Oilers made the right decision. Maybe the Colorado Avalanche made the right decision on moving on from Darcy Kuemper. I am glad that the Edmonton Oilers did not, I almost said buy, but did not sign Darcy Kuemper. I'm sorry, I sometimes cut into the soccer lingo. But I'm happy the Edmonton Oilers never signed Darcy Kuemper. Now, I mentioned so often when the debate was, oh, do you have Kuemper or do you have Campbell? Kuemper, Campbell. That is a tongue twister in itself, but was really the debate that was going on upstairs from probably most NHL teams that needed a goaltender. Now, Darcy Kuemper signs in Washington, and basically the night before the free agency starts, maybe there's a little tampering happening there, but Jack Campbell announced that the Edmonton Oilers announced that they were signing Jack Campbell, and everyone went, oh, okay, so now what for Darcy Kuemper? The next day, he signs with Washington, and everything kind of goes into place. Now, I sat there and went, oh, man. Washington got the better goalie. And on paper, maybe. However, Darcy Kuemper's 32 years old when Jack Campbell's 30. Last year, he had a .902 save percentage in the playoffs and a 2.57 goals against. Now, that goals against is pretty, but you have to take a look at the defense that he was playing behind. And you take a look at that save percentage at a .902 and you go, huh, maybe not. Why do I not want Darcy Kuemper? Why am I happy the Edmonton Oilers didn't sign Darcy Kuemper? Well, in the playoffs, as most people remember, Darcy Kuemper had a pretty ugly injury. A stick got through his cat's eye in his mask, struck his eye, and he had difficulty seeing since then. And he still does. From what I've heard and what I understand, and ever since that injury, Darcy Kuemper has been going to eye training and eye therapy ever since. I have glasses. I understand how difficult that is in training your eye. This eye, I have to check every time. This eye is legally blind for me. I understand how difficult it is to try and retrain an eye. But the other thing that I sit there and go, you know what, you can't throw yourself, obviously, into every situation that happens. The thing that really comes to mind for me is Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger suffered a similar injury to Darcy Kuemper. He tried to come back, and he couldn't. Had to call it a career. One of the best defensemen of that generation had to call it a career because of a stick to the eye. Darcy Kuemper went through a very similar injury and kind of scary as well, considering that the stick got through the mask into the eye. He came back and played last year, but even the Colorado Avalanche went, you know what? We're just going to roll with Francois. We'll bring in somebody else as well, and we'll just go from there. Sorry, thank you, Darcy, but we'll move on. Thank you so much. That's what kind of concerns me, is that the team who helped him get that recovery, who helped him get over that edge of that injury, just went, all right, lad, all the best. See you later. We're going to go with Francois, who isn't necessarily really proven. He did kind of win the cup after Kuemper got hurt, but they still tried to bring Kuemper into as many games as they could, and he didn't look the way that he did before the injury. I'm nervous about Darcy Kuemper. I'm nervous about the fact that he's 32 and dealing with an eye injury. Now he's playing on one of the best teams in the league as well, in the Washington Capitals, and that is a high intensity type of situation. If he starts to underperform, they will have no problem moving on to somebody else. They have goaltenders all over that organization. I'm concerned about Darcy Kuemper, and I'm happy that the Edmonton Oilers didn't sign him. That's why I sit here and have Jack Campbell as the wait-and-see move, because if he turns out to be what the Edmonton Oilers expect him to be, then the Edmonton Oilers are going to be a very good team. But if he doesn't, and he's inconsistent, then you go and go, maybe Darcy Kuemper would have been better. But would he have been? We have to see what those two goaltenders do with their careers over the next 5 years. But either way, I'm sorry this episode, we're going to call it there. I'm sorry this episode is coming out a little later today, but I was in meeting this morning with my other job, so I apologize for that. Either way, we are going to call it there. As mentioned, next week, we are bumping it up to 5 episodes a week again, baby. Let's go. Hockey is back. I'm calling it again. It was the last week of the offseason, basically next week. So let's get excited. Rookie camp is a week away. Training camp is 2 weeks away. I hope you have a wonderful day. You stay safe. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's Friday. It's Friday, then. It's Saturday, Sunday. What? Alrighty, that's it. Enough of it. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And play La Bamba, baby.